The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. These are the words that the Son of God spoke as he walked from town to town near the Sea of Galilee. If you were to look at a map of the places that Jesus visited during his ministry, it wasn't that large. For the most part, he concentrated his time in this area near his home, as well as in Jerusalem, and the word began to spread. And as he walked, there were crowds that would often gather around him. They wanted to hear about this kingdom of God, not a kingdom of men, but a kingdom of God. And there were many who were sick, who were afflicted, who sought Jesus out so that he might heal them. And there were many times where he did heal them. He cast out demons. He healed those who were blind or could not walk. He healed many of all kinds of ailments. And he gave hope to those who had none. Now, there were some who only came to be healed, nothing else. They weren't really concerned with the message or the kingdom, but they came to be healed. Others did come to learn from him, and they took those lessons very seriously. He was a great teacher, instructing a multitude of people in a very short period of time, and he instructed them with clarity, with authority, something that they hadn't seen or heard ever in their lifetime. His fame had begun to spread through the land beyond this small northeast region or northwest region of the sea. And Jesus and his disciples continued to teach as this message of the gospel spread. Now, on one particular day, a very large crowd of people had gathered around him as he spoke, as he gave some of the words that we already heard. On that particular day, Jesus began to speak, but not so much with the clarity that he had used before. And yet all those who followed after him desired to hear more of what he had to say. They became increasingly intrigued at his words, even if they didn't understand what he was talking about. Luke chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable." He spoke by a parable. There are some verses that describe a parable as a hidden message, a mystery. As the multitude grew, Jesus couldn't stay there and on the shore and speak to all of them. So he headed out on a boat with his disciples, with his close disciples there. Many of these people there considered themselves to be his disciples who had followed him from place to place. But he took his close disciples, the 12, and he headed out on a boat out from the seashore, and the multitude were there standing or sitting, listening to him. And he sat down and began to preach. Now, some there realized that this was more than just a wise teacher, more than just a rabbi, more than just a prophet of God, but actually the Son of God. His disciples were learning this lesson. The more they got to know him, the more God opened that understanding, the more that they knew who he was. You can imagine his father looking down on him. Sometimes I would imagine this as I read through the gospel accounts. Not that I know what the father looks like or the son in his flesh. But you can imagine his father watching carefully, proud of his son, continually filling him up with his spirit, giving him those words to speak, guiding him. He had the most of the spirit that you could possibly have as a human being. And Jesus continued to speak every word according to the will of his Father. Now, Jesus laid out for the crowd great lessons, including to his disciples. But these lessons were mysteries. They were teachings, they were parables, but they were hidden, so that not everybody at that time could understand these parables, these mysteries. In Matthew 13, we'll turn over to Matthew 13 today. We'll spend a little bit of time there. Matthew 13, at the end of one of the first parables given in this chapter, one of them that we have recorded. I don't know if we have all of them recorded, and some of them are distributed in different places. But Matthew 13, verse 9, At the end of this parable, he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So it was clear that not everybody in that multitude were able to hear. In verse 10, the disciples came. So they're with him, possibly still on that boat here. If we follow the storyline, kind of seems to be at that time they were still out on the boat. They came to him and they said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Of course, that also included themselves. He was speaking to them in parables too. The disciples had followed Jesus for quite some time, and he had continued to teach them directly, not hiding anything from them. And so they wondered, "Why have you started teaching in these parables, these mysteries? Why is everything such a great mystery? Why you haven't held anything back from us? Why all of a sudden the shroud of parables?" Of course, they didn't understand the parables themselves, but they were more curious about why Jesus was teaching the crowds in these parables. And they wondered, and they even asked him later on what these parables meant. Verse 11, Jesus explains to his disciples, only these close disciples there, what he was doing, why he was speaking in these mysteries. In verse 11, he answered them and said, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." It wasn't yet time for everybody to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12, "For whoever has, to him more will be given." So there's a certain level of accountability with these mysteries, with these beautiful truths. "And he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And there's purpose behind that. God doesn't open everybody's mind right now for a purpose. And we'll speak more about that later. Verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." This is actually, we come to find out, the fulfillment of prophecy. A messianic prophecy about Jesus teaching in parables. "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled," it says in verse 14, "which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull.'" He's talking partially about the physical Israelites. Their hearts had grown dull in the past, and then at that present time, many of them, you know, they had a semblance of the truth, but they weren't desiring the truth. "Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears." Now, if they did hear, if it was time for them to hear, it says, "lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." So God is holding back the truth for a time. It's not yet time for them to be healed. Of course, if they took the truth and they understood it, they accepted it, and then turned away, it would be more difficult to bring them back. So God has a plan in this. In his mercy, he holds back certain things from people for a time, and he reveals it to others. Now, all of these mysteries are right here in the Bible. These aren't strange, hidden secrets. Some people in this world and all through history have sought out secret knowledge, secret wisdom, and they wanted to hold it to themselves. Now, Jesus wasn't hiding anything. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the scriptures here written down. He spoke them openly at the right time. They were allowed to be written down in these scriptures for the right time. And here we have them now. Verse 16, here we have this allowance of certain individuals that God is calling. Now, this time he first called his 12 disciples and a few others, and then later on more and more. Verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see." Now, standing before them was the Son of God, the Messiah that they had hoped for, that the prophets had hoped for. And there were righteous men all through history. You could think of David and Solomon and some others. I'm trying to think of names right now. Lots of righteous people all through history who desired to see the Messiah. And it wasn't their time, but they stood there at that time. It says to they didn't see and to hear what you hear and did not hear. So we see this timing in revealing the truth, as well as the fact that it is a blessing. And God chooses who he wants to bless at what time. And here he says that he's blessing his disciples. Us reading these words and being given this understanding, we are also blessed by hearing these words, receiving them. Of course, then we have that accountability. And we see more in context of this reasoning why Jesus Christ didn't reveal these things. We, of course, read about the accountability. But there's a certain plan that God has, and he follows that plan very closely. Now, we do understand here in verse 19, we see that these are parables of the kingdom. Verse 19 says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside." This goes into this parable that we skipped over. We're not going to go through this parable, but we see this accountability here in hearing the word and not receiving it. And so God knows the best time for us to receive it. He calls some now who he thinks will receive it now. And he'll call others later who he thinks will receive it later. Now, these are truths which have always been there. As I mentioned, they're written down here in the Bible. The kingdom of God and that plan has been the plan since before the foundation of the world. So these things, even though the Bible describes them as mysteries, parables, they're important teachings, but they've been hidden until the right time. Now, continuing on Matthew 13, let's turn to verse 34. We see this fulfillment of prophecy here as Jesus speaks. Verse 34, he says, "All things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them." He was holding back the explanation of the parable, waiting to give it to his disciples, and they would write it down, or others would write it down, "that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables." This is actually a quote from a psalm, Psalm 78. "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." And there was a time when the Gentiles would be called afterwards. Of course, for the most part, the first disciples were Jews. Later on, Gentiles were also called. But there were things that were kept secret from the foundation of the world and have been revealed. What does it take to understand these secrets, to know these mysteries? Is this just something that is inherently within mankind, within us, that God just has to flip a switch? Well, that's not true. There might be some who believe that. They believe that there's truth within you and you just have to find it, discover it. That's not what the Bible says. That's not how God works. Where do these mysteries come from? Surely they don't come from the heart of mankind, which is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, and only God can know it. And that the truth can't enter that heart until it's changed with God's help. Now, to gain access to these mysteries of the kingdom of God, firstly, these mysteries must be revealed. We're going to talk about three aspects of this, of the giving of these mysteries. The mysteries of the kingdom, the parables of the kingdom, the understanding must be revealed. There must be a revelation from the Word. That includes both the Word of God in the form of the Bible and also the Word of God, Jesus Christ, his mouth speaking. These mysteries cannot be found apart from God and apart from his word. They must be taught to us. We see the example of Jesus Christ here teaching personally his disciples. And God does the same thing with us. He reveals these things. He opens up our minds so that we can see what was once hidden, even though these words were always there. So we see that a revelation must be there. The mouth of God, the word of God, the Bible. This is that revelation. Of course, we need more than that, but it starts with the revelation, with the hearing of the word of God. God has revealed these things through his prophets through history, who were given visions, dreams, who he spoke with personally. These were not their own wanderings. These were the words of God that were written down, bound together so that we could have them. They were preserved for us. They've been translated in languages that we can understand. I don't read in too many different languages. In fact, mostly just one. And so if I have a Bible that comes to me in a different language, it's going to be awfully hard. I might be able to pick out a few words, maybe Jesus Christ in certain languages. I could probably figure that out in Spanish pretty easily since it's spelled the same. But we have the translations. And that's a fantastic blessing that God allowed so that these words could be given to us, so that this revelation could be passed down to us, so that people could read these words, put them in their minds, in their hearts, memorize them, absorb them, live by them. But they first must be revealed. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Paul often wrote about the mysteries of the things of God, which were being revealed, which had been revealed to him. You can read his story, and it was obvious that he didn't understand the mysteries of the kingdom. He thought he knew all about God. He thought he knew more than most, probably. But once the mysteries were revealed to him, he knew that there was so much that he didn't yet understand, and he needed to be taught. These things needed to be revealed to him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 says here in verse 26, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints." Only to his saints, and God knows who his saints are. Whether they're in this room or a different church today, there are other organizations who are our brethren. We believe the same. These same truths have been revealed to us. Verse 27, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So we see these aspects of the kingdom of God. The allowance of the truth of the kingdom can only come through the sacrifice of Christ and that revealing which he brought. Verse 25, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." So we see the end result, the hope that should come from this revelation, from knowing the truth, the perfecting in Christ Jesus of mankind, a bit at a time, starting with the saints, and then later on all those who will answer the call. Jesus Christ taught his disciples to prepare for the kingdom. This was a major part of his message, the gospel, the understanding that he was bringing. Colossians 2 and verse 1. Of course, this all came by the will of his Father to make preparations for the kingdom. Firstly, that preparation of the forgiveness of sins through his sacrifice. Colossians 2 and verse 1. "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." So this is a pastor writing to his congregations. They hadn't seen him for a while. He was off everywhere that Paul went. "That their heart may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ." And we see this revealing of who God is, the God family, the Father and the Son, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We don't get wisdom and knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom anywhere else except from the Father, through the Son. That's how it works. God the Father sent his Son to reveal to us his plan, the mysteries, the truth of who Jesus Christ is part of the understanding. And the fact that salvation comes through him is part of the mystery, as well as the lessons that he brought in those parables. And the work that he continues to do today in us as well, through us, revealing more, preparing a people to enter into the literal kingdom of God at the right time. a kingdom that will be set up here on earth. And these things must be taught so that that preparation can be possible. Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. We read about these words being preached, the truth being revealed to us. Verse 25, Romans 16, verse 25. And Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ," he's talking about God the Father, "according to the preaching of the Son, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations." Again, these words have been made available. The revelation of them has not yet, but these scriptures have been made available. "According to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience of the faith." Again, a reminder of the purpose of the scriptures being given to us, the revelation of the truth, for the obedience to the faith, obedience to God, an understanding, a faithfulness. And here Paul, sometimes when we read Paul's letters, it seems like he's praising himself. He's saying, "Well, this gospel that I brought," but he's just stating a fact. He's saying, "These are the words that I spoke. They're there in the scripture. Go and look them up. But remember that it is God who has brought these to you at a time for a purpose." And we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians reminds us of our focus, focusing on the truth of the kingdom, which these mysteries speak of. Let's see if I can find Philippians. It's hiding here. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 8, we see Paul's hope in this, understanding, and he gets excited about it because he realizes the kind of life that he led before, that was when he was working against God. He says in verse 8, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ," that I may gain that blessing of his sacrifice for us, "that I may gain the mysteries of the kingdom through him and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Another truth, a beautiful truth that is revealed, the resurrection from the dead. That is necessary for the kingdom to come. Without that, there will be no inhabitants in the kingdom, except for God the Father and his Son. And even if there was no resurrection, the Son wouldn't have been resurrected. But God has a plan, and he's revealed these things. Verse 12, "Not that I have already attained," so Paul reminds himself as well as us that the things that we see right in front of us, the things that we have, no matter how much knowledge and understanding we have of the truth, this is not the end yet. We look forward. We have hope of things yet to come. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." Boy, this is a good truth for us. We are not yet perfected. We're in the process of being perfected. "But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." This is why we have been called. God hopes that we will receive the gift of eternal life, that we will be inhabitants of his kingdom. And he lays hold on us so that we might lay hold of that kingdom. Verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, having this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." God reveals the way that we might mature. And he brings us along, helps us to grow. Verse 16, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." He even brings out unity. That's another blessing, a revealing that understanding that we are supposed to be of the same mind working together. That's an aspect of being ready for God's kingdom. Now, these mysteries of the kingdom of God are amazing. These things that would not have been known unless they were revealed are fantastic. They give us hope. They give us direction. But they must be revealed by the Father through the Son. They work together in that respect. God the Father does the calling, and Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he spoke these words. These words are actually God-breathed. And these revelations have been recorded in the Bible so that we can read them, so that others can read them. And then when God is ready to open somebody's mind to reveal the truth, then those mysteries will be opened to them. Now, a second thing that is needed to receive the understanding of these mysteries. So the first one was a revealing, revelation of the truth. The second thing that is needed is a listening ear. A listening ear, willingness to learn. Without that, the words just bounce off our ears. It's like they or maybe they go in one ear and out the other. I remember my parents mentioning that to me when I was younger, when I wouldn't listen quite well. That's kind of how it is. You know, if God is telling us something and it just passes right through or it bounces off, we don't have listening ears. We're not ready to hear. And just because these words are spoken doesn't mean that somebody will take them in and accept them. Otherwise, we would see a lot more change, positive change in this world. People would be ready for change. But this world is not yet ready. We must be called by God the Father to be able to hear these words. So there's that revelation, but also the opening up of our ears, of our minds. We also must be willing participants in that. Now, Psalm 78, you can turn to Psalm 78. I mentioned it earlier as part of the one of the prophecies that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ speaking in parables. Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read this in the Amplified version because it brings out some interesting points. But in verse 1 of Psalm 78, it says, "Listen, O my people." So there's this command to listen. So we know that we must be ready to listen. Somebody must be ready to hear these words for them to be revealed. "Listen, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth and be willing to learn." That's what it explains it in the Amplified version. "And be willing to learn. I will open my mouth in a parable to instruct using examples. I will utter dark and puzzling sayings of old that contain important truth." But we see this listening ear must be present there, a willing participant with God. For your notes, you can write down Jeremiah 13, verse 15. Jeremiah 13, 15 says, "Hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken." Pride inhibits us from opening our ears. Pride inhibits us from being willing to learn. If we're prideful, we are not teachable. We are not humble. If we're not humble, we cannot draw close to God to hear his words. It inhibits our learning. Even if the truth is there, we must have humility and open ears, a willingness to learn. Every time we open the pages of the Bible, we must be ready to learn. Sometimes we might catch ourselves reading through something in a passage, and we think, "I've already heard this story. I know this. I have it memorized." Sometimes we shut our ears in those moments because we already understand it. But maybe there's something in there that God wants us to understand that we didn't know before. We might have the words memorized, but how deeply do we understand? We still must be willing to learn no matter how much we think we know. If we want that, the wisdom and the mysteries, we must be willing to learn. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, we're going to read some of a passage here in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. We'll start at the beginning of the chapter. Isaiah, well, God revealing it to Isaiah through Isaiah, he says, "Ho," he gets our attention, "everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat." Isaiah is explaining here, or God is revealing this to Isaiah, explaining that We need to have our desires focused on things that will last. So he brings out an analogy of food, of water, of drink, even using money. But it's a desire for things that are important, a desire to learn. Come, buy, and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, God doesn't charge for the revealing of the truth, but we still must be ready to learn. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear. Now that phrase, you might hear that phrase over and over again. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. So God is calling, but we must have open ears. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation and you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God. This is a future prophecy about the fact that God is raising up teachers who will teach others. But first, of course, we must be willing to listen. And he continues on, in the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Change, learning new ways. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It's a beautiful truth here. Realizing that we can't save ourselves is a revealed truth to us. We must understand that. That's a gift from God. And we have to be ready to learn, to unstop our ears and be ready to listen. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Sometimes we think we know what God is thinking. Far too often we try to manage that. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's a beautiful passage here. Maybe we'll read a few of these verses. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. God's word is a beautiful blessing. It's refreshing, the truth, if we're willing to listen to it. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God has purpose in sending out his word, in calling people. Verse 12, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. A beautiful future. Everything refreshed. A new heaven and new earth. No more death. No more crying. If only we are willing to listen to hear these words. Matthew chapter 11. We have more fulfilled prophecies about the source of these mysteries here. And the fact that we must be willing to listen to that source, to our great teacher, if we want to know and understand the ways of the kingdom of God, to be prepared to be in that kingdom that is coming. Matthew 11. Verse 25, let's start with verse 25. So Jesus is answering those around him. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Sometimes we forget that we're just like little children, and God has revealed these things to us because we might be teachable. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. I mentioned that God the Father does the calling, but here Jesus Christ does the preaching. It's the words that came from his mouth. It's in tandem. Verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is our teacher still to this day. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that doesn't mean that there are no expectations for us. It just means that God's way of life is a lot better than any other way of life that there is. And that burden is light. Our sins taken away from us if we're willing to listen. So we must have listening ears, willingness to learn from God. That is needed to understand these mysteries, to receive the understanding of the kingdom, of the ways of the kingdom of God. What a relief it is to know that we have a knowledgeable teacher who is patient, who is loving, who is kind, and who has called us to learn and to grow if we're willing to listen. Now, the third thing that is needed to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The things of God are not revealed by the things of man, by mankind, by our wanderings, by what's in our mind, by the thoughts in our heads. It's not revealed by anything that we could possibly do. No matter how many times we might have read the Bible, it didn't click for us until God revealed it to us. And he begins that process by opening our minds first. And later on, he gives us his Spirit internally so that we might have these words inside us, so that we might actually be able to change once we've repented, once we've begun that process of learning and changing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That same Spirit that is in us after we're baptized is what opens us up to this understanding, to the mysteries, the deep things of God, those ancient truths that have been here all along. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writing here to the church in Corinth, that congregation, they had their own issues and they were ready to learn. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul's talking about how he started with the basics and built up from there. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we see that power of God. The Spirit reveals these things to us. However, he continues on, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. We could say that about this age. Of course, this is part of this age still. It's a longer period of time than we might think it should be. This is part of that age. There is a wisdom of this age. There's a lot of knowledge in this world. But it's coming to nothing. It's not going to extend past the return of Jesus Christ, the ways of this world. There's going to be a change. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So we see another dimension in that purpose that God had for waiting to call some. If Christ hadn't have died, our sins would not have been forgiven. Even for those who crucified Jesus Christ, there's a time, if they weren't called at that time, to be called later on. But as it is written, in verse 9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Mankind doesn't understand these things. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Only God's mind can give us his thoughts. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Only we ourselves know what's in our mind besides God. God knows. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So we need that spirit to be able to understand these things, these mysteries that are freely given, these things that are right here, plain words, black and white, sometimes red. But we need God's Spirit to understand them. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. That's very evident in this world. The words of God just bounce off a lot of people. And there are a lot of people in this world who don't even believe in God. They don't have listening ears, and they don't have God's Spirit. It takes God's Spirit to reveal these things. It continues on, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. So if we are judging ourselves, then we will not be judged by anyone. We won't need to be, because we will have judged ourselves with that Spirit of God working in us. This is about a reminder about self-examination. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So it's basically saying that we can't know the mind of God unless we're taught, unless it's revealed to us, unless it's given to us. And here Paul reminds us that we have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit of God in us at this time. What a blessing to have these things revealed to us. With this gift of God's Spirit, with his mind placed within us, we can begin to understand the mysteries of his kingdom. We can begin to prepare ourselves to be members in that kingdom. We can begin to live peaceably now in this time, to live like God would have us to live, to prepare for that time. But these things must be revealed to us. Now, I'm using this message as an introduction. I'm going to go through a series of sermons, going through some of the parables of the kingdom of God. There's some beautiful parables. We're not going to go through all of them, but we're going to hit some highlights. A few of the parables that give us great, deep instruction in preparing ourselves with God's help for the kingdom of God. God wants us to be prepared for that time. If we're not prepared, then we won't be ready when Jesus Christ returns. So it's our duty to open up our ears, to draw close to God, to pray for more of his Spirit so that we can understand these things and learn more and be prepared for that kingdom.